Everything you need to know about high school football. The Rudin Report presents Sunday Morning Quarterback with Dave Rudin. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning Quarterback. I'm Dave Rudin. I think we have a few things to talk about after a pretty busy weekend and Friday night and the most hyped game of the regular season. And it lived up to all the hype. New Canaan came away with a 14-7 win over Greenwich. And there's so much to unpack from the game. Just so much happened in a game where there are only three touchdowns. So we're going to do a lot of that today. And joining us in a little bit is going to be the Rams coach Lou Marinelli. And the other big game of the weekend yesterday, and normally this would have been the showcase game, but it got overshadowed by Friday night, and that was St. Joseph's 24 win over Darien. And joining us a little bit will be one of the defensive stars of the Cadets, Kyle Wicker. I guess we're just we don't need much intro into this game because there's so much to talk about. And joining me as always, my co-host Sean Ireland. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Dave. How are you?
I'm okay. So, how'd you spend your Friday night? See any good movies?
Yeah. You know, there wasn't much going on.
that was my line when I got to both sidelines. Was anybody want to go to the movies tonight?
Yeah.
So it was an interesting week, and it really was for the media. It was a week long event, just hyping the game, you know, having the game and reporting about the game. There's so much that happened. Again, just the outcome, things that happened in the game, and things that what they're going to mean for the future. So. I'll let you start with any initial observations.
Yeah, Dave, for a 14-7 game, you know, if you just look at the box score, you're like, man, that was kind of a lame game for 1-2 in the state, but it was far from it. You know, a lot of opportunities, a lot of late game heroics, teams stopping teams on the goal line, you know, interceptions in the end zone. So if you just look at the score without knowing what really happened, you'd make, man, that's a boring game. But it was anything from it. It was a very exciting game.
No, it started off with New Canaan could have put them away early on the first possession of the third quarter. And then Greenwich had a chance to come from behind and scored 21 points in the fourth quarter. But two turnovers deep in New Canaan territory. And the final one came with a minute and 13 seconds to go. Sort of a Hail Mary-ish type pass by Greenwich quarterback Phil Tarantino into double coverage. And Blake Schwartz brought down the interception to hold on for the win. You know, let's talk about it in a second from the New Canaan standpoint. But Greenwich certainly did not do anything to hurt their status. I voted in the state poll. I put in my ballot for the week last night, and I kept Greenwich number two. And maybe some folks at Killingly would want to contest that, but I don't see how you, off that game, you drop Greenwich, nor would I have dropped New Canaan more than a spot had the roles reversed.
Yeah, you can't get criticized for making that statement, Dave. You really can't. Like, you are right. People from Killingly, they'll say, oh, you're FCAC, this and that, whatever. But, you know, losing a one-score game to the number one team in the state when you had multiple opportunities to win the game, you know, if they drop it all, they drop the three, you know, if at all. But you can definitely make the argument that they're still the second-best team in the state. As well, you can make the argument that Killingly is. So, you shouldn't get slammed for that at all.
No, they showed their 1-2, and we talked about this. What kind of scoring the game would be? It would be high, low, and your instincts told you it was going to be low scoring because both defenses are so good. And yeah, part of me upped, I think I said 24-21, even though I believe deep down it was going to be low scoring, just because I thought with so many playmakers on the field, you were going to have a couple of plays broken. And each side did that. You had Maddox Hoffman, who threw two first-half touchdown passes, a 51-yarder to Charlie Koch, led him in stride down the left sideline, and Koch just a beautiful cutback to take out the fake out the final defender. And then you had Hector Lopez, and we knew he's a touchdown always waiting to happen, and he burst 149 yards. So each side had one of those kind of plays. I just thought maybe there would be one or two more of them, but those defenses were hitting, they were swarming, and it was, we cover the game from the sidelines. It was a hard-hitting game.
Yeah, Dave, I believe it was yours. Give credit to your videographer on Charlie Koch's touchdown. It was the ball was coming right to whoever was videotaping. So good job by that, whoever that was.
You remember TJ Wright? How can you forget? That's his girlfriend. Reese Bartellis goes to St. Joe's, and she's been working for me. And she's the only person I know of that got that video, because I was standing there and I got cut off from it second half of the play. She had it perfectly. She got it perfectly.
Yeah, that was a great job by her. But yeah, Dave, you're right. I mean, you heard the hits. You know, it wasn't like little tackles out in the open field. Both sides were absolutely bringing it all night long. Both teams definitely woke up sore on Saturday morning. It was just a physical football game, and you know, unfortunately, the team that made the fewer mistakes, they're the team that came out on top. I think they're very even, and it was just a great game.
Yeah, great game, great atmosphere, great build up for the week. So New Canaan takes a 14-0 halftime lead. New Canaan has one good drive and a really nice play action fake, really fooled the Greenwich defense. And Maddox Hoffman hits Ryan Brooks, who did most of his best work on the defensive end, but he's another player that plays both ways for New Canaan, and an 11-yard touchdown pass. And then the play to Koch, and it's 14-0. And you start saying, okay, maybe New Canaan's going to pull away. And then, you know, Greenwich's defense settles down, and they shut. It was a game of two halves. New Canaan had the yards and moved the ball first half. Greenwich did it second half. You know, Greenwich defense, tip of the hat, they shut down New Canaan the rest of the way.
Yeah, they did. And you know, if thank God Hector Lopez broke that long run, because if they don't do anything on that drive, the whole game might be a little bit different. But yeah, at halftime, you had all the feels like, oh man, is this going to be a one-sided game? But to Grinch's credit, absolutely not. You know, they turned it on in the second half, shot themselves in the foot a couple times. You know, if they clean that stuff up, you know, if that stuff didn't happen, maybe they come out on top. You know, if they, it was just two even teams. They, you know, number one, number two, very evenly matched. You know, and we said it last week, the team that makes the fewer mistakes is going to win, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and before Lopez breaks it, New Canaan gets the ball coming out of halftime, and they go to a real hurry-up offense. They're up in the tempo, and they're driving right down the field. They get inside the 10-yard line, and then Henry Stein, and he played a great game. It was really unfortunate. But ball just sort of, it was hard to tell. I'd have to see the replay. But the way the ball came out, I don't know if it was the exchange that caused it. But he just loses the ball, and Greenwich recovers. If New Canaan scores there and it's 21-0, the game's over, because Greenwich wasn't going to come and score more than three touchdowns on the New Canaan defense.
Yeah, yeah. And a real quick side note, how about Hector Lopez getting a shout out from Cam Scadaboo and Jackson Dart?
I was going to bring that up in a second.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd rather check that in for a win. And that was pretty cool.
I actually got that video and shared it because I saw he got it, and it turns out the Greenwich wide receiver coach, his brother is a doctor with the Giants.
Okay.
So he got them to do it, and I saw it, and I said, do you want me to circulate it a little bit more for you? But yeah, you see Cam Scadaboo and Jackson Dart on the bus together, and then it kind of focuses in on Scadaboo wishing Hector good luck.
But back to the game. Yeah, if New Canaan pumps it in there, as good of as a program, I'm not saying Greenwich would have packed it in, but the game would have been over. You know, if they go up three scores because they weren't doing much, for all intents and purposes, that game would have been done right there. Credit to Greenwich's defense. You know, they bend but didn't break on that drive, you know, causing the turnover, and it kept them in the game.
So that was turning point number one. Turning point number two, now the fourth quarter, they're riding the momentum of Lopez's touchdown. New Canaan goes three and out, and Greenwich starts moving the ball again. And they're driving down, and then Phil Tarantino is scrambling. He's looking. He decides to run with the ball. He's pressured, can't find anybody open. And he starts to take off. And Mikey Harriman, if you had to say star of the game, he's in the conversation as part of the New Canaan defense. But he strips Tarantino the ball and then recovers it. And lost opportunity number one for Greenwich.
Yeah, that's definitely if you had to pick a play of the game, that's definitely the play of the game. You know, even if they don't turn the ball over, I'm assuming they kick a field goal there. So, you know, so to get that deep that late in the game, I believe that was probably around 5 minutes ago in the game, 5-6 minutes ago in the game when that one happened. To come away, you know, you're around the 10-yard line, to come away with no points at all because of a turnover, you know, it's a punch in the gut. But great job by Mikey, what he did. Not only did he create the fumble, he recovered it as well. So that's credit to him. He was flying all over the place.
Him, Brooks, you almost hate to bring up one person because then you got to bring up so many others. But the linebackers on both teams showed you why they are most likely number one and two. Though, St. Joseph's defense as a whole, we'll want to have their say, and we'll get to it after. You have three incredible defenses, but yeah, those linebackers are flying. And then the second turnover, and I'm not gonna you can't kill Greenwich on this play, but and even the first one was a great play by Hireman, but again, they're putting themselves. Greenwich gets into position to try to get a tying touchdown, and yeah, fourth down play, and Tarantino's under pressure, and he doesn't really have many options, and he sees Kelly in the end zone, and Kelly is double covered, so it was Hail Mary-ish, and Blake Schwartz intercepts the ball on the goal line, and they start this celebration, but The other, I won't call it a huge play, but at the very end there, a third down play where Greenwich has just a ray of hope that they can get New Canaan a punt and get the ball to maybe run a play or two. And New Canaan hands the ball off to McInerney, and he gets a push. He's initially stopped short of the marker. And then it was just, from that point on, it looked like a tush push. And there's just a surge that carries him to the past the marker for a first down. And the celebration began, and New Canaan had a well-earned victory.
Yeah, Dave, that's a good point, you know, because if they get stopped there, they got to punt. You know, punting at any level, you know, you're holding your breath. But in a pressure-packed situation where you know they're coming after it, you know it's the end of the game, it's do or die, you know, maybe the snap's a little high. Maybe the punter, you know, has a bit of the nerve. So the fact that they were able to get that first down, you know, that was a big part of the game because who knows what would happen. You cannot fault the Greenwich Court. You cannot fault Tarantino on that last one.
Absolutely,
you know, there's
not.
Guys all over him. You know, the only thing he could do is throw the ball. If he takes a sack there, the game's over, you know, pretty much over anyway. So you can't fault him for that one. But great play by Blake Schwartz. You know, he's, as always, New Canaan's in the right spot at the right time. You know, I will say this till the day I die. They're the best coach team, best coach defense in the state. They're always in the right spot. And, you know, case in point, Blake Schwartz comes down with a game-saving interception.
Yep, it's, we shouted them out, both out, and deservedly so. You know, Chris Silvestri, best DC. And Brian Hochter is right up there. And he had a good game plan. I talked to both sides. I kind of have my routine when I get to a game and go to both sides and try to find out a little bit about what they think they can do well. And you know, fortunately, they trust me after being around that I'm not going to go and talk to the other side. But I think for the most part, the teams executed their game plans. And again, we talked a lot about just minimizing mistakes. And it was 2 turnovers to 1 turnover, and all 3 turnovers were important to the flow of the game. And New Canaan made one more. There's one thing really important that we haven't even talked about, and I've kind of saved it, but we're going to take a break in a sec. And Andrew Esposito had a couple of big plays and then left the game with what appeared initially to be a severe injury, and not sure the status of it right now. But why don't we take a break, and a couple observations I have about Esposito on some of the things we've talked about on prior shows. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
The Rudin Report Live presents Sunday Morning Quarterback, a look at Connecticut high school football with Dave Rudin on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and we're still talking about New Canaan's 14-7 win over Greenwich. Andrew Esposito, I think the front runner for Gatorade Player of the Year right now, just because he does it on both sides of the ball. Third quarter, after making an sensational diving catch that sort of set up the drive that before the fumble in the third quarter, the first drive, a sensational fully extended catch, and one that maybe only he can make, a couple of other players, not many. And then all of a sudden, you see after a play where it looked like he was swiping at the ball and may have hit a helmet, he's coming off the field and it looks really bad. And I'm about 15 feet away at the time from where he came off the field and went into the tent. And at first, his hand looked limp, and it looked like he was holding his wrist or his hand, and I thought, you know, man, he might have suffered a broken hand or wrist there. And then it turned out it actually was his shoulder, and I think the shoulder popped out of place, and he left the field. I'm sure he was taken to get examined, and I don't think, I tried to find out a little bit yesterday, and we'll have Lou Marinelli on in a bit. I don't think he's going to be able to give us any further insight yet. I think that's going to come in the next couple of days. But he leaves the field, and first, I mean, just him leaving the game, the best player on the field leaves the game. It's a huge impact. But, you know, and Sean, I've talked about it, how I almost feel guilty when I just talk to him all the time because he's... Sorry, here, just because he's such an impact player, and how do you not talk about him? But there's so many good other players on the team. When he came off the field, there was a palpable feeling on the New Canaan sideline, like, of, oh, my. You could hear a hush on the field. Everybody's looking over and watching him on the tent, and it just sort of as good as the team is, and I hope, obviously, we don't want him to miss any time, but we hope it's nothing serious. But they're still a really good team without him. But you could see how much respect he has in his own locker room by the way the feeling was after he leaves the field and goes into the tent with what looked like a serious injury.
Yeah, David, it doesn't matter what level you're at. It doesn't matter, you know, what team you're on. Whenever you lose your best player, you know, there's always the motto, next man up, next man up, and which is true. The next person has to be prepared. But when you lose your best player, there is a little like, uh-oh, you know, and I don't care what level you're at. As much confidence you do have in your backup, you're still missing your best player. You know, credit to his backup. He stepped in and, you know, he did very well. But, there's a reason why everybody felt that way, because they just want to know, is he okay? Is he coming back? Is he not coming back? All that stuff. So there is a reason for a little trepidation there.
And he's so good. It's interesting. Someone told me yesterday, watching film of him, that if he focused one way or the other, that they think he'd be even better on defense than he is on offense. And after watching what he's done on offense for the last year and a half, that's a compliment of the highest order. And it just goes to show you that he's not just he's not a great wide receiver who's also playing on defense. He's great at both positions. And the impact he makes, again, I mean, he's sort of the Travis Hunter and what Travis Hunter did last year at Colorado, but he impacts the game on both sides of the ball, and it can't be minimized what he does on defense. And really with their secondary and a bunch of offensive players who are playing in the secondary and how much that bolsters the unit.
Yeah. I would say, and Dave, it's probably a bigger loss on defense, because offense, you know where you're going. You know, you hear the play, okay, I got to do this. You hear in the secondary, you have an area or a man, whatever defense that's called, but you need to communicate. You know, you can't just go run around out there, get your spot. No, you got to talk to the other guys on the field. You got to talk to, you know, the cornerbacks, the other safety, the linebackers. You know, so I bet you it was a bigger loss on defense than offense. Just because of, you know, the position that he plays.
And you always hear, and I heard it with on the Greenwich side this week, every time, you know, we got to watch 14, which is Esposito's number. They also bring up, we got to watch 11, and that's Ryan Brooks, the outstanding linebacker who also caught the first touchdown pass. He's playing some tight ends. You don't want to see anybody injured. And Andrew's such a class guy, and so many people in the media want his time, and he's accommodating, and he's just a really good guy. He's a better person than he is a football player, to add a little bit of perspective. And they would have to replace two. They'd need two people to replace him if he's going to miss any time.
Yeah. You know, and obviously we all hope that, you know, he misses no time, or at the worst case scenario, very minimal time. You know, you never want to see somebody get hurt ever on any team. But, you know, you don't want to see the best player on the best team in the state get hurt. You know, so we're just wishing him a speedy recovery.
One thing I want to take just a minute or two on, and you're part of this when you were coaching, and it's something I kind of reflected on this week. Where else, how many states would the coaches of the top two ranked teams in the state, come and meet me on a Tuesday night in a restaurant in Greenwich, and A, take that time in their busiest week to have dinner and to film a preview video. I can't believe that if I was in Texas or Colorado or wherever, that. But Tuesday night, I'd asked during the bye week if they'd be willing, and I knew they were friendly too, so it made it an easier ask on my part. But I asked if they would film a preview video, and they said absolutely. And like I said, Tuesday night, game week, they came down, and it was cool because not only did we film the video, but then we had dinner together. And here you go. You got two coaches that are going to go at it in the biggest regular season game in three nights, and we're all just having dinner together.
Yeah, you know, that just shows the character of, both coaches. You know, they're two A-plus coaches, and they're A-plus individuals as well. Dave, I've been in those meetings, you know, the FCS coaches meetings, and we say it all the time. You know, we hate each other for about an hour and a half to 2 hours a week. And then after that, we fight for each other. Oh, and I think you could ask every coach in that room, and they would say the same thing. You know, every coach respects every other coach in that room. You know, but those two guys, they're the best. You know, they really are genuine, and they're not doing it to promote themselves. They're not doing it. They're doing it just because they're genuine, nice people.
And you know what? It's and Lou will, both guys will tell it, but you know, Lou just being the kind of the patriarch of FCAC football, it's all about for them. It's all about promoting the league, and it's all about, when Andy Grant got the job at Darien, the biggest rival in New Canaan, and Lou reaches out and is trying to help him out and make the promotion for him from position coach easier. Lou wants to win more than anything, but Lou cares about FCAC football as a whole. And again, every time I thank them for doing this, taking the time to film the show, and they just said, hey, you know what? It's all about promoting the league and promoting the game and promoting the kids. I laugh because the day after, I get a field hockey coach reading me the riot act because I haven't been to one of his team's games. And we've covered the team's games. It just hasn't been me. I said, I have a great staff. What does it matter? Who do you think assigns my staff to go to games? And these field hockey coaches, when you just want to get preview information, I heard back from like two coaches. And it was kind of like, you know, are you kidding me? Football coaches know they're going to get the publicity no matter what they do. And they're still the most accommodating people. Football and baseball coaches, and there are a lot of good groups, but across the board, FCAC football and baseball coaches are the absolute best at cooperating with the media.
Yeah, Dave, I can tell you, and this is a true story, back in 2000, when I was head coach my first year, we won our first state playoff game in the history of Norwalk High, and we were up in Concord. On the bus ride home, my phone is ringing, and I look. This is on the bus, and Pat Moffitt, my assistant coach, and I'm like, Coach Marinelli's calling me right now. He's like, for what? I'm like, I don't know. So I answer the phone, and he had a game that night too. The first words out of his mouth, Sean, congratulations, keep it going. I'm like, wait, this guy just coached and won a game, and he's calling me to congratulate me? You know, like, he's the best, and I'll say it to the day I die. You know, there's not many people better than Coach Marinelli.
When we had my, and we're going to take a break real quick here, but when I had my awards night a couple of Sundays ago and we honored Joe Delavecchi, and Joe tells the story, he didn't even know Lou that well, and you remember back, it's been a little while now, when Joe had a heart attack, and how Lou would come down to his hospital room just to be with him. It just, and he didn't even really... He didn't even really know the Joe that well at the time. It's just and Tony too. Tony's the same way. It's the whole group of coaches. But why don't we take a break here and we'll talk to Lou about a whole bunch of different things on the other side. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
game recaps, athlete interviews, and everything high school football. It's Sunday Morning Quarterback with Dave Rudin, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back, and we're still talking about New Canaan's 14-7 win over Greenwich, and joining us right now, the winning coach, Lou Marinelli. Lou, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you. Doing well.
Happy it's all over?
Yeah, you know, it was a really good game against a really good team. And to come out on top, you know, I feel very fortunate. So, that's why you coach for games like that.
Just with all the hype and everything, it was. What was the week? Now that you look back on it, we had the old Marinelli Bowls. When Johnny, your son, coached at Greenwich, and I know you hated coaching against your son more than anything, and especially in like a state championship game. But with all the buildup and all the talk, was this week similar to that?
Well, let's clarify this first before we go any further. I hate losing to him. I did more times than I beat him. So that was bad. But I try not to get too involved with social media and all that went on. I'm sure my players were involved in it. But I think it was great for the state. The fact that it was such a close game and going back and forth. You love games like that. You know.
Before we talk a little bit about the game, I'm sure everybody's wondering what happened. You know, with the status with Andrew Esposito and his shoulder injury. Do you know anything more than you did from Friday night?
Yeah, I don't think it was as bad as we originally thought, and he's going to be at the doctor tomorrow morning early, so we'll know more tomorrow. But we feel pretty good about his chances of coming back, so we'll see. You never know.
Okay, well, we wish him a speedy recovery.
I felt that way before, and guys were out for the season, so I'm not really sure about it. So, but I would say that it looked pretty encouraging. He came to a meeting this morning with us, and he was able to raise his arm and everything. So I feel pretty good.
Yeah, and we'll get to strategy. The one thing that struck me, and I'm sure panic's going through you, but I was on your sideline. I was about 15 feet away from the tent when they brought him in there. But there was like a hush on your sideline, and you see everybody on your sideline looking in there. It just kind of shows, and you have so much talent on that team, and sometimes I hate highlighting one person because you have so many other good players there, but it just kind of shows how much respect he commands as a player, the reaction of all your guys when it happened.
Well, he's our leader. He's one of our captains, and he does it on the field and he does it off the field. And I think he's well liked. And that's, whenever something like that happens to any of our players, really, but especially him, there is a hush that goes over the crowd. But, as our old assistant Bo Hickey used to say, that's the beauty of football. So you've got to be able to, next guy up and let's move on and see how we do.
Did you have kind of a gut feeling one way or another about how the game would play out in terms of defensive struggle versus a moderate scoring game? Because it was a real battle in the trenches there.
It was a real battle, and they are so good up front that you never know. I don't know that you'll face too many teams that have the front and the linebackers that they do. So to be able to move the ball at all against them is, it's going to take a lot. So I think they're a very good team, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if they repeat, because they're just getting better every week. I thought they were better than they had been before, and I think the break helped them. And they're so well coached, and I can't say enough about the Greenwich staff. So you better make sure you do your homework, because those guys are very good.
Sean, jump on in.
Coach, how are you?
Not bad, Sean. How you doing? Good to hear from you.
I'm doing all right.
doing all right. Coach, so for you guys had the bye week, and obviously for 2 weeks, and I know your staff is able to tune out, but for two full weeks, your kids just heard, you know, one verse two, this is the game of the year. What do you do now to get them to refocus? All right, guys, that's done with. Like, what do you do to get them refocused for the games coming up?
Well, I think this is an exceptional group of seniors. I mean, the leadership is really, we met with the captains this morning as a staff and talking about, you know, all that lies ahead for us. So I don't think it's going to be hard to refocus them. We have Stanford this week and, we're trying hard to make sure that we don't have, a huge upset against us. And they're just a great group of kids. I'm trying to hold on to the season as long as I can because we have such a great group of kids.
Yeah, you do. You really do.
I told them this morning, I said, this is going to be over very quickly. So let's try to, just hold on to this as long as we can.
Right. And what you guys are doing is tremendous. And this leads me to my next question. It's not a knock on Stanford High, but you are going to be a huge favorite. But the week after, you guys have Staples. So, like, again, what do you do to just get them, I know you have a great senior group and your leaders, but, like, all right, guys, let's focus on this one. Let's not look ahead. How do you handle that?
I don't think that our kids are looking ahead. I think, this is, like, my worst week because – I hate homecoming week because we have all these different days. Dress up like your mom day, 80s day, look like macaroni and cheese day. I hate it. And to try to keep our kids focused on our game this week. We got a bonfire on Thursday night. I mean, there's so much going on, and I hate it. So we're going to lock them up on Friday night. We're not going to let them out. We just have to go one at a time. And I don't think anybody's thinking about Staples right now. We're focusing in on Stanford and, let's get that. And then next week at this time, if you want me to call back in, then we could talk about Staples.
Good. And coach, so, your defense, you guys haven't let up more than a touchdown. You haven't let up multiple touchdowns in a game yet this year. Couple deep, defense scored big games. We all know defense is your strong point. What do you think? What do you think the gel that? And it's not just this year, coach. It's year in, year out. You always know New Canaan is going to have one of the best, if not the best, defense in the state. What do you think is the key contributor to that?
I'm going to give you the secret sauce. You can write this down now. I have probably the best defensive staff. Anywhere. Chris Silvestri leads it. I have Frank Arcimone that's been with us coaching inside backers for over 30 years. I have John Silvestri coaching the defensive line, Chris's dad, Frank Rabassa in the secondary, and, Jason Miska, who's also our strength coach. Those guys put together a staff or a game plan that has been consistently year after year, regardless of our personnel, able to hold people to minimal amount of points. And that's the secret sauce right there. Those guys do a tremendous job. So I'm very fortunate to have them, with us, and our kids are fortunate. They're tremendous, and they're all very motivational for their position groups. And as a group, they really gel together. And this year, we just happen to have some really good kids to fit into that plan. So it helps.
Hey, Lou, I just want to say good luck the rest of the way. Keep the machine going. You're doing a great job.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Sean.
Hey, Lou, we got to take a real quick break. Can you hang on for a couple more minutes? I just wanted to get to one or two more things.
Sure, no problem.
Thanks. We'll be right back with Lou Marinelli. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Let's hear what Dave Rudin has to say about this week in high school football. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back and talking to New Canaan football coach Lou Marinelli. Lou, it just says something about your defense. Maddox Hoffman throws two first half touchdown passes, and you're up 14-0. And you come out the second half, and you get into a real hurry-up offense that was really effective. And you drive down the field, and then you lose the ball at the 8-yard line, a fumble. Your only turnover of the night. If you score there, the game's over. I know there's a lot of time, but nobody's coming back and scoring three touchdowns on you in less than a half. And then, first of all, what was the strategy involved with going to that hurry up right out of halftime?
It's just something we've done. We've practiced, we really executed it well that night, on Friday night. And then we were getting a little too comfortable, so I pulled the running back over. I said, look, I want you to get down. It was right, not the 8, it was like at the 5. And when you get down to the 5, I want you to fumble, let Greenwich have it, and then, this way we can keep practicing. I think certainly that was a turning point as far as the momentum goes, for us and them. And, of course, if you let a good team like that have momentum and the opportunity to come back, and which they certainly did. And then we had to hold on for dear life because they're such a good team. I mean, we just had to hold on. But I agree that the whole momentum of the game did change. At that point.
And then we knew Hector Lopez could break one at any time, and he does. And it's 14-7. You go 3 and out, and then they're starting to move the ball again. And the fumble was one turning point, but then Mikey Harriman makes a tremendous play to strip Phil Tarantino, Greenwich quarterback, as he's scrambling, and he recovers the fumble. And I thought that was the other big turning point in the game.
Yeah, for us, for sure. Tarantino is going to be a tremendous quarterback. I'm trying to figure out ways that we can get Greenwich off our schedule for the next couple of years. He's done a great job. His dad's was a baseball coach down there.
Yeah.
He does a great job. The kid comes from a tremendous family. My son fills me in all the time. He says, hey, Dad, you got to be careful of him. And he was right. And luckily, we have guys like Harriman and Crowell and Brooks, and I can go on and on about our guys on defense, and they love playing together. So we're fortunate. We have a tremendous group of kids, and they look forward to performing. That was I was reminded this morning at our meeting that was the last Friday night game of their career. So it means a lot to them. And when you have kids, when it's important where, if they remember things like that, you got something special.
Before I let you go, and you probably don't want me to bring this up, but I think I have to, and it's because I know what your response is going to be, and I want people to hear it. But where else can I get? I've been doing a little career reflection. I have no idea why. It's because I'm getting old. But where on the week, a couple of days before, you have 1 versus 2, can you get both coaches to, A, take the time to come film a preview video together and then sit and have dinner together?
I just have to tell you that, Anthony does a great job down there. He's a class act. I came out for the game, right? He's wearing a red tie.
Red tie.
I said, what are you doing? That's my shtick. What are you doing? He said, no, I did it in honor of you. But, our two staffs are close. We go to camp together. We go to 7-on-7s. We go to clinics. I can't say enough about matter of fact, a few of those guys were on our staff at one point. We're very close. And I think, in general, the FCAC coaches really do get along. Do we want to beat each other, the day we play? Absolutely. But outside of that, you want to talk about guys that share information and share, college recruiting, recruiters' numbers and trying to help kids. I think the FCAC coaches are so good at helping one another out. I think they take great pride in being in our league. And I think, what do we have, 6 in the top 10 right now? So, I mean, it's a great fraternity to be in. I'm proud to have been in it for as long as I have been, you know, with these guys. And they're all very helpful, and they want the best for their kids in our league. So it's great.
And you're all about, and I say this all the time, you know, and you said it that night, it's you know, to hype the game up, but for you, it's all about high school football in this area and promoting the league and promoting the kids, which is a really big thing for you outside after winning games yourself.
Yeah, and, you know, I somebody showed me, I thought this was great for Connecticut football, is that I think Rivals has a thing where it says these are the national games of the week. And, you know, number one versus number two in Connecticut, and it's Greenwich versus New Canaan. I think that's great exposure for Connecticut football. You know, when I go down to the national convention, you know, in January, some people don't even know Connecticut plays football. So it's great to have that kind of notoriety where, you know, we get noticed, because we certainly have enough kids playing in college. I'm talking about throughout the state. We have enough kids playing in college and the pros to be proud of Connecticut high school football.
This has been quite a week for you. You got the win, but last Sunday, before you even get back, you fly out to Denver. And you get to watch Zach Allen and the Broncos beat the Giants in a game. You'll always, as it gets replayed over the years, you'll always get to say, I was there. But how much fun was it to be at that game and get to be on the field with Zach beforehand?
A couple of very cool things happened. Number one, they get us field passes, so you're down in the field. And then he's warming up, and he sees me, comes over, gives me a hug. And I said, shouldn't you be back warming up over there? He goes, nah, Coach, you know, it's okay, Coach. We're good. Thank you for coming and that kind of thing. So that was good. But then after the game, we all went out to dinner and then with some former players as well that were on his high school team. And it was just one of the greatest times that I could have imagined. And thankfully, this gentleman that owns Elm Restaurant in New Canaan actually won the trip, but had called me up and said he couldn't make it. Would I be interested in going? And so Franny and I went, my wife and I went, and but it's so typical of the generosity of this great town that we live in that, you know, something like that happens. And someday, you know, I'll tell you stories that they write books about, you know, that they could write books about, of the generosity of this town and some of the things that go on. But it's been a tremendous experience for me. I'm probably talking a little bit too much here for you, Dave. But,
No, not at all. I figured at this point you're sick of talking to me after the past week. You've had enough talking. But, Lou, you know, I'm glad the game lived up to the hype. Everybody out there got the kind of experience that kids playing high school football should get. And, yeah, congratulations on a great win. You've got the inside track to being number one in the state at the end of the year. But there's a lot of obstacles to get through. But you're a class act. I appreciate all you do for me, making my job easier. And congrats and thanks for taking the time here.
Absolutely. Anytime, Dave. Appreciate all you do for high school football in Connecticut. I really do. And especially our league.
Oh, thanks a lot, Lou. Go watch the Giants. Maybe we'll actually get a win this week.
We'll see. They played well. It's just one of those things, you know.
Yeah.
But so we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, thanks, Lou. I appreciate it.
Okay. Take care.
Okay. That was New Canaan coach Lou Marinelli. Sean, just like I said, just a tremendous class act in every respect.
Yeah, not many better than Lou.
So why don't we take a break here, the 12 o'clock, and we're going to move from The first big game of the week, Greenwich New Canaan to the second big one yesterday, and St. Joseph's 24-8 win over Darien. And defensive standout Kyle Wicker is going to be with us. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
High school football lives here on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut, with Sunday Morning Quarterback and your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back for the final half hour. Thanks again to New Canaan coach Lou Marinelli. And haven't had a chance to talk about it yet, but we will now for probably the most of the rest of the show. Any other week, this would have been the marquee game of the weekend. St. Joseph, Darien, all the top teams in the league now are playing each other, and it's a war of attrition to get into the state tournament. The Cadets defense, we just talked about New Canaan's and Greenwich's, and another one that's part of the conversation for best defense in the league in state is St. Joseph's. They come away with a 24-8 win yesterday, and joining us right now is one of the stars of the defense, Kyle Wicker. Kyle, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. I'm doing okay. When you guys go up 17-0 the way you play, you're never going to say this, but part of you, just knowing how good the defense is, it's got to just if you're not saying game over, it's thanks a lot for the 17 points. It's just what we needed.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, Darien's a great team. I'm not going to tell them that they're a bad team. Darien's a great team. Every time we play them, we know it's going to be a fight. Just show you last year, that was a fight last year. Darien, I mean, we came out very enthusiastic. We hold ourselves to a high standard, so we came out really prepared, ready to go, and we just kind of put our foot on the pedal and didn't lay up for defense.
What is it about what makes this defense so good? You know, it's I come away from that game and I still don't know much about Darien, because on the one hand you say, well they only scored once, but nobody scores against you. You guys had to run at 12 quarters without a point. And the defense held New Canaan scoreless. If not for the pick six, you maybe win a 3-0 game. What makes this defense so good?
I would definitely have to give credit to our scout team. Our scout team comes out and replicates what each and every team is going to do perfectly. Like, they were replicating their stretch, their guard tackle pull, all of that kind of. And also our defense, we watch a lot of film, so we visualize all week on what they're going to do just throughout film. So we know exactly what kind of plays and what kind of formations they're going to come out with through that film watch.
You know, I don't think I've ever asked anybody this, but it's interesting because you just brought it up, and I don't even know the answer, and I'm sure it'd be interesting to the listeners, but How much film watch do you do, and how much film watch do you do when you're at home?
I definitely watch a lot of film personally throughout the week. I don't have an estimate number, but I would say our defense watches a ton of film to get prepared. I know each and every kid, they're spending probably an hour a day watching film and studying up on their different formations.
And Sean, in a second, I'll let you jump in there to get this from a coach's standpoint, but yeah, I don't even know if listeners, you know, what kind of things are you able, when you're watching film, what are you able to pick up? And how does it help you in a game?
Well, personally for me, my playing outside linebacker, I'm reading that tackle. So I'm seeing if his hands in the dirt, if it's going to be him down blocking, if he's leaning back, pass play. I'm also reading where that running back is standing. So some of the teams, their running back will, and like receivers will show you where they're going to go. So our defense is just looking for those keys in film to try and get that advantage on them.
It was a real interesting point. I've never asked anybody that, and I don't know. You hear people saying we watch film, and I sometimes wonder if it's why. Sean, jump on in, and if you want to continue this angle, you can take it from a coach's standpoint.
Oh, no, that's great, Dave. Kyle, great job. Great job on Saturday. Question for you now. So Dave asked it a little bit. So when you look at your defense, it's not just one player. It's the whole group. Like, if you look at the stats from the other game, there's three interceptions by different guys. There's a fumble recovery by your special teams. There's sacks. There's pressures. What is it like knowing that you have not just you, you have 10 other dudes that are just ready to, like, get after? What's it like knowing that you don't have to be perfect every single play because you got 10 other guys that are just as good?
I would say it helps out a lot. We have a bunch of guys. We all hold ourselves to a high standard. So we just – if we all do our jobs, we come out with the win. Our defense, we have our front seven who puts up a bunch of pressure, which – leads to our secondary getting six picks in the past two games, I believe. So it really helps us out when we all know what we're doing and we all have faith in one another to get what we have done.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And it also helps with the coaching staff that you guys have. I say this all the time that I would put St. Joe's coaching staff up with anybody.
Yeah, our coaches are definitely a big part of it. They tell us what we need to do, where we need to be, and then they help us out if we have any type of questions or anything along that line.
Now that Darien, great win. You know, you beat a top 10 team in the state. Now you get a little break with Staples. So what's it like now? Your guys' schedule, you could make the argument you guys have the hardest schedule in the state. What's the mindset of that? I know you look at the schedule at the beginning of the year, but now, we're over halfway through it. What's it like going from one team to the next, just top 10 after top 10 after top 10?
I mean, it's definitely a challenging schedule, but we come out with every game with confidence. We come out with the mindset that we're going to win. So we don't have many doubts of anything about that. We don't fear any team, so we just look ahead, beat whatever team we got coming up, and keep on moving forward.
Well, Kyle, what you've been doing this year has been tremendous. Best of luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
I just wanted to backtrack there. You're talking about the coaching staff because I'll take Joe Delavecchia. There's a few on that level. There's nobody better. As a big game coach and a strategist and also making adjustments, can you just from a player's standpoint talk a little bit about how that works and give us a little insight?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Dell is a fantastic coach. If a team comes out with a new formation, he's already on top of figuring out ways to get an advantage on that. So he's just an all-around great football coach. Couldn't ask for a better coach.
How much fun is it to play on a defense that dominates like this? And you've got so many good players around you. And the three guys with the interceptions, Zach Nino and you just causing havoc all over the field. How much fun is it to play on this defense?
It's so much fun. We come out, we beat teams, and that all we have is fun on defense. When we're up and we're playing good, it's like playing backyard football. You're just out here playing, having fun playing football. There's nothing much to it.
You don't have a real easy game left on your schedule, and you haven't played a bunch of easy ones. What's going to be the keys for you guys to keep doing what you're doing? And I think from your standpoint, it's just getting to the state playoffs, because if you guys get into the state playoffs, I think you're going to be in good shape.
Yeah, I mean, our schedule is tough, but, I mean, we're also a tough team. We've had a couple flukes, but we've been fixing it week by week. I mean, we're just going to prepare like we do normally, film, scout, all the normal stuff. Just come out hold ourselves high standard, do our jobs, get the little things done right, we should be good.
I know you were disappointed about the outcome with New Canaan, but what does it say about your defense? And the defense had to be real proud to play the number one team in the state and not give up a point.
Yeah, I would say we were very proud of our defense. I mean, just to show you, yeah, we held the number one team to no scores. That just shows you we're close to be the number one defense in the state. We just do what we have to do, and we shut down teams.
This is going to probably be harder on me than you guys, but what about playing at 11 o'clock start next Saturday?
That's not a great time to play, but I mean, anytime, anywhere, we're going to play whatever team we have to and beat them. They want to play at 11 o'clock on a Saturday, so be it. We'll come down. We'll make the drive down there and win.
That's a great attitude. I like that. I hope somebody has some cold brew there for me to wake me up. But Kyle, you personally are having an absolute tremendous season, and your defense and the whole team's having a great season. You guys are fun to watch. So congrats on a good win yesterday, and I'll see you next Saturday. Best of luck the rest of the way.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
All right, thanks. That was Kyle Wicker from St. Joseph coming off yesterday's 24-8 win over Darien. We're going to take one last break, and Sean and I will talk a little bit more about the game and look ahead to next week. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Expert analysis and all things high school football. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback with Dave Rudin, live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and thanks again to Kyle Wicker. Sean, it was a low-scoring game, and we talked a little bit about it from the St. Joseph standpoint. I got to say, we're six games in, and I still don't know, in the grand scheme of things, how good Darien is or where Darien stands. They made a quarterback change that helped a little bit. The offense has struggled. Certainly the Staples loss was a bad loss, and you want to say yesterday was a bad loss, but their defense really didn't play badly at all. They played well enough to win. And you want to say, well, again, the offense is struggling, but every offense struggles against St. Joe's.
Yeah, that is true. Not many teams have had success against St. Joe's on offense. You know, Darien, I don't know. You know, you just don't know. I mean, you look at their wins. They're really not against high quality teams. You know, they beat Naugatuck, they beat McMahon, they beat Massac, who's okay, but and then they beat Bridgeport Central. So you know, you don't know. But the thing is, they still have Richfield, Greenwich, New Canaan on the back half of their schedule, and Trumbull. So they have the opportunity to prove people wrong or not, you know, and it's up to them.
Yeah, Ryan Gately was all over the field. That game changed yesterday in the span of three plays at the start of the second quarter. It's a 7-0 game, and Jake Rios kicks a 31-yard field goal. They go up 10-0. Darien fumbles the ball away on the ensuing kickoff, and on the next play, H.T. Jones hits Rios on a 19-yard pass play, and it's 17-0 there. And I'm saying this is going to be tough for Darien, especially their offense has struggled so far, and they're going against one of the best defenses, if not the best. And again, I don't know. I don't know how, you know, is it Darien just going to struggle in the best league, and how will Darien look if they had to play, if they get into L and play some of the best teams in L in a division that's really, really strong? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know.
I mean, just looking at how they're playing, I think they would struggle. I really do. You know, I just looking record wise, the best team they played is 3-3 right now. So, the tough game that they played, they lost. And one of them was not close. I mean, St. Joe's, that game wasn't even that close either. It was close for a while, but in the end, you know, it was 24-8. So I just don't know, but I don't think they're the Darien of the past right now.
Yeah, they're not, definitely not the Darien in the past. And the other argument is if you're going to be a good team, you got to beat a good team. And yep. they haven't had a chance to. Ridgefield will be a real interesting game for them because this is a much better Ridgefield team. And Ridgefield might be a must win for them because I think they're going to have a tough time with if they were to lose to Greenwich and to New Canaan. Now you've got four losses. I don't think 6-4 gets you into L. And if they were to lose to Ridgefield, then they're really in trouble.
Yeah, I think if they lose, I mean, can't count out Trumbull. You know, Trumbull's still Trumbull, but they should beat Trumbull. But, yeah, Ridgefield, because I don't see them beating Greenwich. You know, on Thanksgiving, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, that's why, you know, biggest rivalry in the state. You know, you never know what's going to happen. But New Canaan is the number one team in the state. So I think they have to have that Ridgefield game starred because if they lose that one, you know, they're looking at a 5-5 season.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Again, they lost a lot and they had a couple of really key transfers that really have changed the whole composition of their season. Not a lot happened the rest of this weekend, so why don't we take a look ahead? And this game to me is as interesting in terms of figuring teams out, maybe as any this year. And that's the Saturday morning special, the Staples hosting St. Joseph again. Two measuring stick games, and we want to see Staples beat Darien sizably, and that guy got hammered by Wilton. And I think we're all been waiting to see what Staples is going to do against a contender, and we'll see see what their offense can do against that St. Joseph defense.
Yeah, that's definitely the game of the week for week 7. Let's see what Staples is. You know, like they had that one hiccup against Wilton. Sadly, it was a major hiccup. But we're going to see this week, where are they? You know, are they that top 10 team or are they not? I think they are. You know, I think they have the opportunity because they have a tough back half of the schedule also. And it starts this week coming up, you know. So the winner of this game, I think it's going to be another low-scoring game, but the winner of this game, you know, St. Joe's would be right back in the driver's seat for the playoffs. Staples, again, I don't know if you want to say must win because they got New Canaan, Logo, and Greenwich to finish. But, man, you know, it's gonna be a fun game to watch.
That's going to be good. The one thing that helps them is being in double L. And again, at some point we got to talk about these six divisions and how much it's killing football. It might be great for the coffers, but it's absolutely just killing the postseason for the league. When you have double L, that should be the premier. Put double L and L together, and you've got such December excitement here. And you know, now it's almost like you got to wait to maybe the semifinals or else the finals. But I'm high on Staples as well. We may find out it has more to do with Wilton. I think there was some other peripheral stuff that affected the outcome of the Staples-Wilton game. I think Staples is still going to be okay. But, you know, this will be if they lose this game, we'll be continuing the conversation a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And David, you know, just looking at Double L right now, the eighth seed is 3-3 NFA. You know, so like 6-4, I think you're getting in Double L with the schedule that Staples has. I think they'll get in.
5-5 might even get you in this year.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, it was a year or two ago, 2 years ago, 4-6. Fairfield Prep got in there 4-6. So, yeah. So this week, this game, it is a measuring stick for both teams. You know, St. Joe's is one play away from being 5-1. So they should be 5-1. They could be 6-0. So, you know, I think St. Joe's is legit. I think Staples is legit. I think they got to overcome some things, you know, kind of tone it down a little bit, you know, just focus on the game. Don't worry about anything else. And then if they do that, they could be okay.
And the other interesting game of the weekend, all Saturday games this week, because the league doesn't hold any sporting events on Halloween. So everything next week is all on Saturday. And you've got Greenwich going to Fairfield Ludlow. And, I wouldn't want to be playing Greenwich this week. It's probably not the best week to do that. And number two, Ludlow may need to beat them to get into the state playoffs. But how does Ludlow do? Does Ludlow lose a close game? Do they lose by a couple of touchdowns? Do they get blown out? I know a lot of people are telling me, and I haven't seen them yet in person, but you certainly by the performance, how Ryan Love, a lot of people have told me, is the best quarterback in the league. And certainly you look at the numbers, and that's the case. I want to get a chance to see him play, but he's been getting hyped up. But I don't know that he's seen a defense like he's going to see Saturday.
Yeah, I hate saying this, Dave. I hate saying this because I think what Mitch is doing at Ludlow is unbelievable. But I really think Greenwich is coming in with a chip on their shoulder. You know, I really do. I think it might be close in the first half. You know, but I think Greenwich is just going to pull away. I don't think it's going to be that close of a game. I hope I'm wrong, but I just see Greenwich pulling away with this one.
I think it's going to really come down to, I think, Fairfield Ludlow's, you know, is going to put up a touchdown or two on everybody, but I think it's going to be a real, real, real tough spot for their defense. That's where I see this game really being turned around.
Yeah, I think the same thing. You know, they'll score here and there. You know, their offense is too good. You know, between Love and Bond and, you know, and Coach, you know, Mitch, his game plan is going to be exceptional. I just think Greenwich has a little bit too much for Ludlow right now.
And we're got a little bit of time left. I'll let you talk real briefly. I know you've got interest. We talked about it. Norwalk Danbury. In terms of, again, getting into the playoffs and Danbury in Double L, Norwalk having a chance to win out. Give me a little few sentences on the game.
So I think if Norwalk wins this, they're in the driver's seat to squeak into that last playoff seed in L. And I think if Danbury wins, they're in the driver's seat to make Double L. Danbury has a little bit more wiggle room just because there are in Double L, but you know, if you want to talk about games that have playoff implications, this is one of them. You know, this really is. I know they're not two of the upper echelon programs. They're not two of the, you know, they're not teams that people usually talk about. But you know, if Norwalk wins this, they're in the driver's seat because their last three games are all very, very winnable games. Same thing with Danbury has Richfield the last week, which is tough. But this game has a lot of playoff. A lot of people should be watching it. You know, if they want to make the playoffs or not.
This game typifies the CIAC's thinking on why we love six divisions. We're giving everybody a chance to make the playoffs. That's going to be their argument. If we had four divisions, you know, nobody would be talking about Norwalk and Danbury. And yeah, I'm glad they do get a chance to play an important game, but I don't know that that would be the basis for a strong argument for six or four divisions.
Yeah, Dave, you know how I feel. I say go to four divisions. If you want to add a fifth, I'm all for it. All tech and co-op schools, you're in the fifth division. You know, but and they could play for a title. But six divisions in a state this small is way too watered down. And don't get me wrong, nobody loves talking about Norwalk having a chance to make the playoffs more than I do. But, like, you know, it's severely watered down. They have to look in the mirror. They have to do something to fix this. You know, I don't know what the right answer is. Like you said, combine L and double L, that would be pretty sick. That'd be a good tournament. But yeah, it's something needs to be done. And again, Dave, maybe our recap show at the end of the year, we really dive into this.
Yeah, we love to give participatory awards here in Connecticut, but that music telling us that's another Sunday morning quarterback on the wraps. We got another good week coming up ahead next Saturday. We'll do this all again. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to Andrea on the production board. Have a good week, everybody.